it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And we've been hearing some extremely and challenging words. You know, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, you know, love me more than family. You must give up everything to follow me. We hear these words of Jesus, and we're greatly challenged. And for some of us here today, we might get a little discouraged. We might think, man, I can't do that. We might think, I guess I'm just a second-class Christian then, huh? But I want you to understand that we are all on a journey of faith. And some of us are farther along than others. It doesn't mean one is lost and the other is not. It's just we all are traveling along this journey of becoming a fan, growing from a fan of Jesus to a follower of Jesus. And everyone goes at different rates, and we need to understand that. We don't need to get discouraged. And it's important that we keep a perspective, okay? We need to keep a perspective in this, but the fact is, God doesn't want you to stay where you are. He wants us all to grow and to mature in our faith. We don't just come here on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, and that's it for our faith. We should be doing this daily, seeking the Lord. We should be maturing in our faith. Look in this passage from Colossians 1:28 is really interesting. Paul says, He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Everyone. Paul's desire for the churches that he planted, especially the church in Colossae, was that they will grow and they will mature in their faith. Everyone in the church. He writes in Galatians, My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth. Very interesting phrase there. Until Christ is formed in you. Paul had a hunger, a desire for the people that came to Jesus, that they may mature, that Christ will be formed in them. And I think that's the heart cry of every minister, every missionary, that the desire of the people that they are working with and serving, that they will grow and mature. Listen to this passage from Hebrews 6:1. Let's stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Notice there is a constant call to maturity. But the question is, how do we know? You know, how do we know if we're growing and maturing in our faith? I think for a lot of us, we've got to step back and start thinking, you know, well, what am I doing here? Am I really growing? Is what I'm doing helping me grow? Today, I would like to talk about pressing on to maturity. And we'd like to look at three marks that show that we're maturing in our faith. Let's pray as we begin today. Father, we give you glory this morning. We join the angels that cry out to you, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Father, you are above time. You are everywhere. And you are here with us this day. Create in us a holy reverence and fear for your name. I pray that we will grow and mature in our faith. And as Paul has made it very clear in his letters to Galatians and the church and the Colossian church, I pray for our maturity today. That we will grow, that we will go to the next step in our journey of faith. Bless us this day and teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. You look in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. We're going to camp here today because there is a lot to be said here in these brief verses. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Verse 2, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Verse 5, circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, or maybe your version says garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Verse 10, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. I think as we look at this text today, there are three marks of a Christian that is growing and maturing. This, you'll walk out of here today understanding where you kind of are right now in your relationship with God. The first mark, my confidence is not in my works, but in Jesus' finished work on the cross. One of the marks of a mature believer is to have an unwavering confidence and trust in Jesus and in the finished work of the cross and what He did. Look in verses 1 through 3 with me. Verses 1 through 3. Whoops. Sorry. Verses 1 through 3. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it's a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Who are these dogs? They are Judaizers, okay? They are the legalists of the bunch. They said, salvation for a Gentile, for a non-Jew, you have to have Christ, you got to obey the law, and you got to be circumcised. And Paul has a huge problem with this, as the rest of the apostles did as well. They were basically saying they needed to become Jewish and obey all of the Old Testament laws in order to be saved. Just like the Judaizers in the first century, there are Judaizers today, okay? People that put their confidence more in correct doctrine than the cross of Christ, okay? I love that little dude right there. Build a Pharisee. Design your favorite Pharisee to slander, accuse, and be judgmental. Design your favorite Pharisee to glory in external righteousness. Design your favorite Pharisee to strain a gnat and swallow a camel. Great stuff there. But when you think about it, that's a problem today. There are many people that put their trust in getting all of their ducks in a row more than the cross of Christ. I want to tell you today that all of us are growing in this area of doctrine. We're all growing. We're all learning. We all have room to grow. And we may not necessarily be right about some things that we believe. And later on, it's interesting how God reveals that to us and shows us, you know, maybe an issue of the Holy Spirit or an issue of something else where we're like, whoa, I never saw that there before. And wow, you kind of change your thoughts on what you believed before. We all have done that. The point is that our confidence should be in the cross. The cross was enough. Not getting all my ducks in a row like the Judaizers would have believed. The church had a consistent problem with these guys. They were annoying. Just read the book of Acts. Just read Galatians. Dog was a kind of a general term that Jewish people used for Gentiles. But notice what Paul says in here. He says, no, it's you Judaizers who are the dogs. He really slams them. And he says, no, you guys put your confidence in circumcision. We are the true circumcision. Basically, he's saying, you know, we are the true followers of Jesus. Anybody that doesn't put their trust in the confidence of their own flesh, of their own works, is someone who has been cleansed and spiritually cleansed, spiritually circumcised, as Paul would say. Paul then gives us his spiritual resume. And I want you to notice in verse 4 through 6, listen to these profound words. Now, we have trouble when we read this. We think, yeah, what's the big deal here? Paul is this resume is, I mean, this guy is top notch. You cannot get any better than this. This is the PhD material, okay? Listen to what he says. I myself have reasons for such confidence. He says, you guys want to brag about your righteousness? I can even do better, he says. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put such confidence in the flesh, I have even more. Listen to this. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Faultless. He did everything right. There wasn't anything that he did wrong. He could claim, I did it all right. I dotted all the I's. I crossed all the T's. Cha-ching, I did this. Cha-ching, I did that. Listen, look at that. Amazing resume. If you were to stand before God right now, and we all will one day when we die, imagine you're standing before God, and on the right side is the door of heaven, and on the left is the door to hell. And God asks, for what reason do you think you deserve to go to heaven to be with me? How would you respond? Some people would get out the spiritual resume. You know, I've lived a good life. You know, I'm not a perfect person, but I'm also not a bad person. I haven't murdered anyone. You know, I deserve forgiveness. I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights too, Lord. I did VBS. I taught Bible class. You know, I dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. My resume looks really good. Doesn't look as good as Paul's. Paul says, for legalistic righteousness, faultless. There is a man who sought to obey the law perfectly in his life. God is not impressed with our achievements. He's not impressed. And that's what Paul's point is here. He says, we'll come to this in verse 7. One of the marks of a mature Christian is to realize, I cannot save myself. And a mature Christian will say, you know, I'm not going to put my trust in my works. I'm going to put my trust in the finished work of the cross. Because what Jesus did was enough. We cannot add to it. We receive it by faith. What Jesus did for us was enough. The mature Christian will realize, I'm on death row without an appeal. I'm drowning in the middle of the ocean without a life jacket. I'm lost. And for those of us who have been raised in church and we've been on a constant wave, we sometimes struggle with understanding our lostness without Christ. Because of that confidence in the cross, here's the next mark of a mature Christian. The goal and the purpose of my life is to know Christ. Look in verses 7 through 11 here. But for whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation of His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. The second mark of a person that desire is maturing and growing in their faith, it is someone who wants to know Christ. It is their pursuit. It is their purpose in life. And notice what Paul says about his credentials. He said it's rubbish. And the literal meaning is it's manure. What would possess a man that had all of those credentials? He had the PhD. He was faultless. He was a Pharisee. He had it all. Yet he says, I consider them nothing. Nothing compared to knowing Jesus as my Lord. Paul had discovered what few people, even today in the church, have not discovered. That the purpose of life, it is not to make a bunch of money. It is not to advance in my career. By the way, he who dies with the most toys still dies. But that the purpose of life is to know God. And I'm not talking about a bunch of facts about God, but that you experience Him in your life. You know Him. You're walking with Him. You feel His presence. You can always tell a person of God by the way they pray. You can always tell who's got a close walk with God by the way they pray. Paul had discovered an amazing truth. And he said, it's all rubbish. I'm going to throw my PhD out. It's going in the trash can, guys. Because knowing Christ is worth so much more. Paul answers the three questions that all of us, all human beings, want to know. Who created me? Why am I here? Who created me? Why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? God created us for a relationship with Him. Our task in this life, to love God, to love neighbor. We discover what our purpose in life is. When we pursue that, we discover our purpose and our meaning for life. It is not just about coming in saying the amen here. There's so much more to it. And Paul said it's a relationship, knowing our Lord. Life is nothing more than a preparation for eternity. And it's interesting, Paul says in verse 10, I want to participate and the sufferings of Christ. You know, when we suffer and we struggle, we begin to understand Jesus a little better. We begin to understand ourselves and what we were created for. So the first mark of a mature follower of Jesus is, my confidence is not in my works. It's in Jesus' finished work on the cross. Secondly, the goal and the purpose of my life is to know Christ. The third mark is a real simple one. It's to recognize my imperfections, but I don't focus on the past. This is where we all trip up. But I press on towards maturity. Look in verse 12 of Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, or I have arrived at my goal. Paul had been a Christian now for over 30 years. This is an apostle of Jesus Christ. This is a man totally consumed with Christ in his life. And yet he says, I haven't reached my goal. I'm not perfect. I haven't got it all together. Aren't you glad? Listen to what he says. Not that I've already obtained all this. Obtained what, Paul? He just said so. I want to know Christ. I want to know Him. I want to walk with Him. He says, I haven't got there yet. I'm still struggling with sin. I'm still wrestling with sin in my life, as he says in Romans 7. But then he says, I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, he says in verse 13, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 15, if you're a mature believer in Christ, you will understand what I just said. Thirty years as a believer. Can you imagine? He says, I haven't got it all together. That is one of the most liberating texts in the scriptures for me. That is one of the most liberating texts. If we have any encouragement today, we have got to press on. You got to stop looking in the rearview mirror. For many of us, that is what's keeping you from growing and maturing in your faith. You're constantly thinking about the past, the mistakes you made. You are prisoners of your past. And you live in it daily. You're reminded of it daily. Jesus said, he who keeps looking back of the plow is not fit for the kingdom of God. You don't understand what he's saying there. He's saying, if you keep looking over your shoulder back, you're not going to be focused on where you're going. And for many of us here, we have got to let it go. You made a mistake, yes. You failed, yes. Leave it at the cross. It's done. You can't change it now. You can learn from it and move forward. You don't think Paul made mistakes? He made mistakes. Paul's saying, I don't got it all together. And none of us do either. And it's okay. This is why we need a Savior. Hello. This is what draws you back to the cross every day. It should remind you on a consistent basis, I am lost without Jesus. I need Him. It makes your faith grow. It makes your confidence grow when you stop trusting in what you do and you trust in what He has already done. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we realize our sins. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:15, I'm the chief of sinners. And here it's, 62 A.D. I mean, he's going to be dying in 4 years from this point. And he's still saying, I'm the chief of sinners. I ain't got it all together. We need to remember that we grow, we mature as we study God's Word. You cannot grow in your faith without the book, without the words that change, that have power. We cannot grow without other believers. I don't know how any of us can survive without one another. We need each other. God designed the church. We need each other. You cannot be a Christian solo. Sorry, doesn't work that way. It's God's idea, not mine. But to think that you can make it on your own, the devil has already won. We need each other. Rome was not built in a day, and neither are believers in Jesus Christ. We will be constantly growing in our faith. I love the story of the tortoise and the hare. the Bugs Bunny version is much better. It's that rabbit again. Remember that guy? It's a great metaphor for understanding the walk with Jesus that we have. You know those rabbits, don't you? Those folks that are just bouncing off the wall, they're always doing something for God, and they always got to tell you about it. I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. But if you understand the story of the tortoise and the hare, who wins? The tortoise. He's slow, he's steady, but he's continuous. I like that metaphor for our walk with God. We grow slowly. It's not a microwave experience. And speaking as a tortoise, you know how annoying it is to be around spiritual hares? They're annoying people to be around. Get around other ministers and you can hear the ego come out. And if anybody ever hears me speak with pride, please confront me and say, Chris, you're being prideful. Because I hear from other ministers, it's like they created the universe the way they talk. We may be slow, but as we keep a steady pace, focusing on the Lord, continuing to grow in our faith, continuing to praying, we are pressing on towards that goal. And Paul says, you will win in the end if you pursue that. God's goal for us, it's simple, Christ-likeness. God wants you to make you just like Jesus. In Romans 8:29, for God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son. That's God's purpose. That's the Holy Spirit's purpose, to transform us. How can we possibly do that? That is something we cannot do. It is not natural for us to love. It is not natural for us to be patient. It is not natural for us to have self-control. But with the Spirit's power, it has the power to transform our lives and to change us daily. God doesn't want us to be spectators. He wants to be just like His Son. And that is a lifetime thing. What happened the moment you were baptized? God didn't add a little instant Christian into the water and say, out comes the instant Christian. We would never appreciate the cross if that was the way it happened. What happened the moment you were baptized? I love this passage, and I know I've shared this before, but I think it's an important truth. And if you don't get this truth, you miss the entire New Testament as far as I'm concerned. Because by one sacrifice, He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Two thoughts here that are so powerful. He has made perfect forever. Made perfect here is in the perfect tense, which means it's a past action with present results. This is the idea that God declares me righteous when I put my trust in Jesus Christ to save me from my sins. I'm not guilty, and I'm credited with the righteousness of Jesus. Not guilty. Not guilty. So I am made perfect forever. I stand before God's throne faultless. But then there's the other part of that verse. We're being made holy. Ah, that's where the idea refers to God changing us to be like Jesus. And that's where we struggle. We're declared righteous continually as we trust in Christ to save us, but we are being changed daily. God doesn't want us to stay where we are. He wants us to grow. We are all under construction. Great sign for all Christians. So there's a point that we stand positionally righteous because of the cross of Jesus. But God is wanting us to grow. A beautiful passage in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Him, who's the Him? Jesus. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him, Jesus, we might become righteous before God. Beautiful passage to mark us as followers of His. So the marks of a mature follower of Jesus is, my confidence is not in my works, it's in the finished work of the cross. My goal, secondly, is to pursue and then to know Christ, my Lord. Not just a bunch of facts about Jesus, but to walk with Him daily. And thirdly, to recognize my imperfections. I don't focus on the past. I press on towards the future, towards maturity. I love Jesus' words. Come to me, all you who are weary. There's a lot of tired people here today. There's a lot of hurt in this room. There's a lot of hurt in this room. And you've come here this morning because you want a little ounce of hope for your life. And I'm here to tell you today, it's in Him. It's in Jesus. Come to me. Come to me. We were talking Wednesday night about the glory of heaven and what it's going to be like to stand before God one day. And I want you to know, when we enter into the presence of God, we are going to be so blown away by the holiness and the righteousness of God. And it will be in that moment, it'll be in that very moment that each of us will go, thank God for the cross of Jesus Christ. Because the judge himself will be the very Savior who has paid my fine. And I don't know about you, but I long to be in the presence of God for eternity. We should look forward to that day with great anticipation. Not be afraid of it, but to embrace it. We should press on. Today, if you've come into this room today and you're struggling, you have a family that care about you. You've entered God's hospital and we're all sick. We all need each other. And if you come down front and want to maybe share a prayer request, nobody's going to throw stones at you. We're going to love you and pray with you. Our shepherds here are the lovingest men I've ever seen. And we're blessed to have them. Amen? And I want you to know how much I appreciate this congregation. Teresa and I and Sarah have been so blessed. We love you all so much. It's about family. We're on this journey together. You cannot do it by yourself. Please trust God's plan. It's the best one. Maybe today you're ready to begin your walk with Jesus. If you were to die tonight, are you confident you'd be in heaven with Him? That's the borderline. That's the eternal question right there. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you say, yes, I know I'm a sinner, I can't save myself, I'm ready to put my trust in Jesus to save me from my sins. God calls us to change our ways, to make a decision to stop going our way, which is what sin is, and go God's way. And to confess His beautiful name before all people and to be baptized into Christ, where we are born again of the water and the Spirit. If you have that desire today, we can baptize you today. You can begin your relationship with Jesus. If you're struggling with something, we want to pray with you. Won't you come as we stand and sing?